The plane from Kimberley was late this morning. No, why is that on if I have a car? we'll give you some time to settle. Yesterday we started promptly at 10 because the parliamentary monitoring group were not there. So the fact that we're starting a bit late today can easily be ascribed to them. welcome. We're glad to have you here with us. To our colleagues from the National Department of Tourism, what we call SA Tourism. There's a delegation of 3 people from there. Thank you very much for accepting our invitation to present your annual report to the Select Committee today. Also, they are accompanied by members from the SA Tourism Board. We want to say to you that we appreciate the work that you're doing and you're welcome here. We look forward to also getting insight into that work. To the support staff from SA Tourism, to the support staff from the NDT, we welcome you as well. And because this is only our second meeting for the year, it is opportune that we use this time also to convey to you our best wishes for a prosperous 2016. We know that all economic indicators reflect that it is going to be a tough year in the global economy. And we in South Africa, being a developing country, would obviously feel that in a more aggressive way. We also want to extend a word of appreciation to our staff. I was wondering where you were, honey. When I said staff, I was looking where you are. I don't see Zweli Banzi. Yes, it could be that he's still enjoying Swane. Is that all? He's around. Why is he not here? Okay. He could be joining us. To the staff from the committee, select committee, international and international relations and trade, we want to also say to you that we look forward to a tough year with you. We indicated yesterday to the staff that if you look at our first term program, we're only having 3 meetings in 3 months. That's how rough things are going to be for us, January, February, March. I wrote to Tupeka yesterday to say, and this is what honorable members particularly to notice, that the Z-list that was distributed both yesterday and today do not mention our select committee meeting. Lupeka and Grace are working with the appropriate people to correct that. We are having meetings as per the program for this committee that was distributed to us by email. Lupeka, do we have hard copies of that? We do have hard copies for members who will need to get that. There's one member that was not with us yesterday, but I greeted her privately best wishes for the year to be done here to the other members. As we are busy with the welcoming, I also then just want to test, do we have any visitors with us other than the colleagues from the South African Tourism and the Tourism Board? Both very welcome to the session. Then we obviously have our normal participants from the media monitoring, parliamentary monitoring group, PMG. We hope you had a good break and good to see you. That done, honourable members, can I then ask whether we have any apologies for the meeting today?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We have received two apologies from Honorable Lund and Honorable Van Lingen. They are saying that they won't be able to attend this meeting due to prayer commitment.
I can understand. No. I wanted to say to you, I can understand if your prayer commitment comes from the above. Prayer. We made a mistake yesterday to our colleagues from the South African Tourism that we did not request the Department of Public Works beforehand to indicate to us how much time they would need to do their presentation. And we had a presentation and a very long one. I think with you it's going to be easier that you give us some time, how long you will take. The procedure that we would follow is that you do your presentation, you go through it all. We then give an opportunity to the members to raise questions to you, and then we deal with the questions, and then we deal with any other business that's still the plan is that we conclude our business by 12:15. The program says until 1:00. But we want to use that other 45 minutes to just deal with some committee business. So if we look at 45, at 12:15, it means that we have 2 hours for the presentation and the questions. But it helps the members just to, we don't have sleeping members in this committee. It helps with our own mindset if we know how long we have to listen to you, because we want you to continue with your presentation undisturbed.
Well, thank you very much, and it's now 10:11, and we will ensure that by 12:15 we are able to exit the building, and we look forward to a rigorous and robust conversation with you. My name is Lillian Wakedi, and I'm joined by my colleague on the left, who probably needs very little introduction, Mr. Yaqub Aba Omar. We are on the board of SAT, SA Tourism, and we are here representing the acting chairperson and the acting deputy chairperson, namely Dr. Tanya Abrams, Teba Ikhalafen, and the rest of the board. And the presentation will be delivered and led by our acting COO, Ms. Stu. So, Honourable Mahmakul, thank you for your very warm welcoming words. Your comments in terms of the overview of what awaits us for 2016 indeed impresses on us as members of SA Tourism the importance of what we have to do from a tourism perspective, because as we know, tourism has been identified as one of those sectors that provide opportunity for growth and opportunity to absorb learners, both recent graduate and recent grade 12 school leavers. I also think at this stage of the year, it's still okay to say Happy New Year and warm wishes for 2016, because the reality is once you stop saying Happy New Year, the year is over. And before you know it, it's December and you're saying Merry Christmas. So without much further ado, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Dembisa Dlamini, who will introduce her team and take you and lead you through the presentation.
Thank you.
Just before you proceed, Ms. Dlamini, can I ask that we follow your example for the rest of the team, if there's anybody else that's going to speak, that they just give us. And I have all the names yet, but not for the members.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Tembisa Dlamini. I'm the acting CEO of South African Tourism. I'll just give over to my colleagues to introduce them before we start.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Tom Lowe. I'm the CFO of South African Tourism.
Good morning, members. I'm Dale Mabanda. I'm GM Operations.
Good morning, members. I'm Gozo Langa. I am the manager in the Office of the CEO.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Amy Mahendra. I'm the company secretary at South African Tourism.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Armstrong Manganye. I'm the DDSAT Oversight from the Department of Tourism.
Thank you, Henry. Okay. Chair, we like the acting chairperson. We're here to deliver or to present to the Select Committee the annual report for 2014-15. Just a bit of a background. I think the first presentation that we did following the tabling of the annual report was in October 2015, where we presented the portfolio committee. In fact, we said to Petra, we're not going to change the presentation so that at least it's consistent in what we present you to both the committees. So the presentation that you see is exactly what was presented to the portfolio committee in October. Just the slides that has been shown, they deals with what are the content that we'll be dealing with. If we can move to the next slide. You'll see all over the chair, I'll try and change time so that we have ample time, for questions and discussions. Just on an executive summary, the slides, basically key issues coming out of that is we all know the global economic challenges that faces the globe, in fact, the world. And also the other issue that is key on the slide that we're trying to, to highlight is around the issues of security, which obviously we know from a tourism point of view, it has a direct link as to, how people move, in the globe. The next slide talks to South Africa. We know that we've had a sluggish economic growth impacting the GDP growth, and also obviously that leading to job losses. And obviously the unemployment rate, which continues to obviously be top of the agenda in our country. But I think critical for me to mention is around the issue of Ebola, because the cases that were reported in the continent, in fact, impacted on our country, even though we didn't have any cases that were reported in our country, this has actually impacted negatively on the on the arrivals. This, intelligence we get through interaction with trade, through our country offices, through our trade relations managers who interact with the trade, in countries or in markets in which we invest, to try and understand what has this, impact on Ebola has, on our arrivals. The next slide talks to more of the internal perspective. Honourable members, in the last meeting that we had, I think it was in May, the last time we came to meet the Select Committee, we raised the issue of the defects. We had issues in the previous year where we had late arrivals of sets from our agencies, SFA,
and they have made changes in terms of the methodology, which impacted on how we actually did our reporting in 2014-15. However, I would like to just mention that currently we're working very hard with SSA together with the Department of Home Affairs, led by our Department of Tourism, to find ways to actually work together in terms of coming up with a list of statistics. But also internally, I thought it was going to be important for me to mention that internally we've looked at how do we organize ourselves so that we were able to focus our numbers in terms of arrivals, as well as changing marketing tactics where we see that there is no growth. So we've contracted other third-party data and service providers such as Forward Teams, which actually guides us as to what are the forward bookings out there in the market. So this is the control data which now gives management that in management information system to change decisions when necessary. But I think what is important is, given the challenges that we've had with the economy, which obviously impacts on our budget, which the CFO will talk to, we consistently look at how do we serve our market to South African tourism. Because we realize that we can't, with the condition that we have right now, of the budget cuts and all that, we cannot continue to service the market in a brick and mortar approach. We've got to look at how do we then service the market, how do we improve penetration, how do we improve footprint in a very cost-effective manner. So we looked at how do we do a hub approach. In certain markets, we look at how do we then implement the virtual offices as well as global marketing agencies. Honorable members, out of the 11 set targets, we've achieved 6, and we'll go into the details when we get to the performance information. The issue that I want to highlight is the fact that we all know, sitting around the table, that domestic tourism performance remains a challenge for South African tourism, but the tourism sector as a whole. This has talks to the strategic overview, which is part of the annual report. It talks to the K24 of the annual report, where we're just reiterating what our vision is as an agency. We want to still push South Africa to be one of the tourist destinations, preferred tourist destination in the world, and maximizing the economic potential of the tourism industry. The mission, honorable members, just talk to how are we going to actually do that, looking at the three pillars of our business, which is the business events, the leisure marketing, as well as the tourism trading council. Next slide talks to what is our legislative mandate. We thought it's important for us to highlight this slide because now and then it's important that we continue to remind ourselves as to what is the role of South African tourism in terms of the Tourism Act. What are the functions that have been set from the Tourism Act? We have a mandate to market South Africa as a domestic, both domestic and international tourist destination. But it's important for me to highlight that the reason why we have a convention bureau is because the Tourism Act actually spells it out that the board would establish a convention bureau, which we did 4 years ago, and now we provide oversight to the nation, to the Tourism Grading Council of South Africa, which deals with quality assurance. Next slide. This slide, honorable members, is just a highlight of, given the mandates that we have, what are the choices that we make in our business? To enable that we, to enable us to deliver the mandate. So from a mandate point of view, what is really the mandate of the tourism sector? And this mandate comes directly out of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which says as tourism, we need to look at how do we contribute to sustainable GDP growth, how do we contribute to sustainable job creation within the industry, and of course the issue of redistribution and transformation of the sector. Having said that, the NTSS as well outlines what are the key objectives that tourism we've got to actually focus on. So all our work largely actually focus around those six objectives, around how do we increase the volume. We know that if we increase the volume, it has a direct impact on the fence. And then how do we increase the length of stays so that it actually contributes back to the revenue? And how do we improve geographic spread? So South Africa is not one province or two provinces. It's in fact a country with so many experiences. And in the work that we do, look at how we then effectively work with the provinces, work with the local government to improve geographic spread. Also, the other thing that is really crucial in the tourism industry is the seasonality of tourism. So we look at how do we then, in local citizens, improve issues around seasonality patterns, obviously working together with provinces, leveraging of various activities in the provincial agendas and the local government agenda. And doing all that, how do we then promote transformation? So the truth is a top part, top to what the NTSS, which is the National Tourism Sector Strategy, dictates us to do as a sector. And as SA Tourism, we actually look at delivering that kind of money and contributing to the strategic objective by understanding the market. So we've got to understand in which markets are we going to invest in, and why do we invest in those markets, and what is the return on investment of our decisions. And we choose those attractive segments and we focus on them. We can't, we always say we can't play and play. So we look at what is the focus approach that we've got to take, what are the segments that we're going to choose or target. And also we monitor and learn from tourism experience. So what we do is we conduct, market insights, we conduct consumer insights to try and understand what are the travelers to South Africa or tourists coming to South Africa are looking for. And also the other thing which is important for this sector to strive is around the removal of barriers. As South African tourists, we don't have that mandate to remove barriers. We work, we facilitate and understand what the sector requires, and we engage everybody in the tourism value chain to facilitate the removal of barriers, obviously through the leadership of our department. The next slide basically is the organizational structure. And here under review, that remains, we've got the Minister of Tourism and the South African Tourism Board, as well as management. And the next slide talks to the organizational structure, meaning the top level structure of the organization. In 2014-15, we had the Chief Executive Officer reporting into a board, and all those positions underneath were filled. Honourable members, I think it's important for us to highlight one of the successes that we've had. In the 2014-15, we are proud to announce that South African tourism got 18 audits. And this is, we've received 14 unqualified reports that far. But I think it's important to mention this point because a global agency like us is very difficult to do business, especially because we've got issues on currency loss, we've got issues around currency fluctuations, which the CFO will touch in his presentation, but I think it's commendable that we can actually table a clean audit given the circumstances and the conditions we operate within. Also, the AG certified that our financial statements were free from material misstatements and there were no findings raised regarding procurement and contract. Procurement underlines this is an issue in our business. What constitutes a procurement threshold in South Africa is the same in the UK or in other markets where we operate. In terms of all the performance information, we've received unqualified, so meaning the audit level is comfortable with the performance information that we've tabled, as well as the portfolio of evidence that we've given them. The next slide, honorable members, deals with what is institutional analysis, what is the environment that we're working on. Key issues out of this slide is around, we know that there's been a modest growth of tourism contribution to the GDP. This is at the global level. And some other issues which might have impacted this globally, it's political instability and conflicts that have been happening. You will see on the slide, we actually double-click the Ukraine-Russia conflict, political instability in Thailand. So all of that actually impacted global tourism environment. The other area that we thought is notable is around the health care. The whole issue around, for example, Ebola. It's not Ebola only, but there are a couple of things which happened with healthcare. So those are some of the key issues which we needed to highlight as as the environment, a global environment. And we can move to the regional tourism, which is the next slide. I think the key point which I would like to drive here is understanding that if you look at the arrival of the tourists, the land markets actually constitute about 26% of the arrival. So we have seen decline in the Africa air markets. We call them Africa air markets just in the way we deal with market segmentation internally. But also we've seen an increase in the land markets by 8.8%. I think that is notable. You'll see as we go along how it actually relates to the overall tourism numbers. the neckline, you've seen this slide. Well, we were saying whilst the foreign arrivals grew by 3.7 in 2014, as Ethan told us, in the target that we've put have not achieved, was not achieved. Africa air markets and Europe were the only reasons that exceeded the target. So if you look at our market segments and where we invest, those two regions are the ones who actually achieve their planned targets. Next slide. The final results that were tabled in 2014, this was released by SSA because we follow exactly what the SSA releases as numbers. Tourist arrivals in South Africa grew by 6.6% over 2013. So this is year-on-year comparison. And all regions grew with the exception of Central and South Africa and Asia. We know the issue that we've had in Asia, which I said in the opening statement, issues around healthcare, immigration, and so forth, and the capacity to actually deliver your visas. The next slide talks to what is the market portfolio that we focus on in 2014-15. This is our laser market portfolio. You remember I said in terms of the tourism mix, we focus on these key business elements, the leisure component business, and tourism growing council. This market portfolio focuses largely on leisure. Every 3 years, we conduct what we call a portfolio review, just a bit of context. And in the portfolio review, that's when now we slim it down and say, these are the markets we are attractive, which we're going to focus or invest in. And the next portfolio review is due to start now, the 1st of April, to be implemented in the next. This slide, basically, Honorable Members, talk to the three areas that I've mentioned earlier. To say, given our financial situation, we consistently look at how do we service our market without focusing largely on brick and mortar, because we can't expand our rent to actually cover all the markets. So in the previous financial year, or the year under the review, the board had approved what we called a hub approach. So we basically took all the countries or all the markets in the fish portfolio and we sort of hub them to enable us to extend our rent and increase footing. Now I'm going to talk to the performance information by program. This is performance information as with a peer level annual report, reporting on what we have done in terms of the annual performance plan 14-15. The first one being the number of foreign visitor arrivals. I want to reiterate that 14-15 was the last year we spoke about foreign visitor arrivals. Going forward, you will see it's all about tourist arrivals. So in that, we have seen a decline of 3.9%. Though as mentioned earlier, there was growth. If you look at it, compare year on year, there has been growth, but then the target, the absolute number that they put, we didn't meet the target by 3.9%. The number of buyers which we host at Meetings Africa and Indaba. Meetings Africa and Indaba, those are the platforms that South African tourism owns. And we had set up, a target of getting 427 hosted buyers so that they come to our country and get exposed to our South African products. There we've exceeded by 5.6%. In the next slide, we talk to the domestic tourism. Like I said earlier, the domestic tourism remains a challenge to the sector. How do we grow the sector given the global challenges that we have to sustain tourism in our country? Notable there is you will see that there has been an increased number of trips, domestic trips. And mainly, it is due to the fact that the people who are, or the sectors or segments who are already traveling are taking more frequent trips. But these trips are largely driven from a visiting friendly and relative. So it's mostly VFR. It's frequency, but it's not holiday trips, but visiting family available. And the next slide talks to the trips. So the holiday trips, that's where we want to influence, because that's where our investment is. We want our people to understand the value of domestic tourism and be able to take those holiday trips. I think to highlight is around the issue of poor economic performance, and the increased CPI, and which obviously impacted on consumer confidence. But the bigger issue that we're facing as a tourism is around the issue of the culture of travel. We're working very closely with the department and the sector to see how, what sort of initiatives we put in place to ensure that we deal with you know, establishing a culture of struggle amongst our people. And the other issue is around seasonality. We still see a trend which is people travel during peak seasons, like your Easter, your around June and December, and then the December break. And we're working closely with the provinces to say, how do we then deal with the issue of seasonality? How do we encourage people to travel in low peak season? And we partner with trade to enable you know, our people to do that. The revenue part of things, in terms of revenue, you'll see there has been growth if you do a year-on-year comparison. But in terms of the planned target of 128 billion, we're only able to achieve 119 billion. So it's a 6.9% deviation. So whilst that's growth, we didn't meet our target on the issue of revenue. Brand awareness, which is brand awareness of the international world, how they actually perceive South Africa as a tourist destination. So it's not brand awareness in terms of South Africa and other sectors, but as a potential tourist or as a tourism destination and businessman destination. That we were made able to meet our target of 80% in 2013, 14, or 2017. So there has been growth in the way that we have been perceived. In terms of the tourism bidding council, that's another area which we had battled with in 2014-15. We had not achieved our target of 10,000. We had actually implemented something called the basket of benefits, which we launched in later in 2014. So in the 2015-16, that's where we're going to do an impact analysis to see how that has actually impacted on our you know, uptake of that. Next slide. The last slide on performance information deals with the international business delegates and the bid work that we do through our South African National Convention Bureau. We've seen, other board members, an impact of, you know, positive impact in terms of how we collaborate with local government and provincial governments. As the National Convention Bureau, we work with Cities Convention Bureau and Provincial Convention Bureau to actually increase South Africa's potential of you know, hosting association meetings or business events or any meetings like we refer to it. And we've seen an increase in terms of business events delegates. How we track this? We track this through the set that gets released through the, you know, IFA. We've also actually increased the bids that were supported. Increasing the bids actually increases the chances of South Africa in hosting this, you know, association meeting. The next slide talks to how are we going to overcome the areas of performance. The foreign visitor arrivals, I've already mentioned that we're changing now. We're going to focus more largely on tourist arrivals. And we're currently formulating what we call a marketing growth strategy and see how we can actually increase our revenue in our arrivals from the markets that we invest in. Same as the amount of revenue. But the domestic travelers is an area which we're not tracking going forward. We're going to check only on holiday trips because that's where we want to influence. We're working closely with all the best in the sector, provincial, local government, and international, to ensure that we come up with initiatives to drive domestic tourism. Same as the greater establishments, which is an area which we didn't perform. We are looking at the implementation of the TGCSA strategy that was approved in late 2014. And see how, you know, issues around the basket of benefits can improve, you know, an uptake. But, you know, this the winning in the tourism grading council largely has to do how we engage our stakeholders within the industry. And we are, it's something that as a tourism, we are taking, it's high on the agenda, the issue of stakeholders, because we realize that as a tourism, we're not going to deliver this on our own. We really need everybody in the venue chain to do that. Then this slide basically talks to what are some of the global initiatives that we have, just to cover the international marketing side of things, so that honorable members understand how do we execute our marketing work largely overseas. The key highlight there is we can't do it without our global partners. And those are some of the global partners that we had, your National Geographic, which, for example, reaches about 258 million households. So we use those kind of platforms to assist us to grow our global brand as a leisure destination. And the other notable thing there is the key campaign of Miss South Africa, which, if you look at it, we have now rolled it, out across the, our corners. And we, I think it was well received within the market. The next slide talks to some other initiatives. I think notable there is for members to note that we don't do it on our own, but we partner with trade to improve conversion. Because trade, as part of the value chain, we create the demand, we invite people to travel to South Africa, but there is trade that needs to drive that conversion. Like people need to book somewhere, people need to get information somewhere about what, and that assurance that, all the logistical arrangements are done. But the other thing is how, as our state tourism, we have put, we've participated in international trade show to improve market access. In this trade show, we take South African products to go and showcase in various platforms like the WTM, ITB, and our own Endeavor in the roadshow that we do in country. Well, in the region of Africa, it's important to mention that we continue with the market, creating that market access platform. And by the way, Africa air market was one of the strategic areas we chose to actually support and fund. That there is a lot of efforts around how do we win in the continent. So we created market access platforms by exposing our South African products to those trade shows, Swahili, Tanzania, Medical Kenya, and Aquaba in Nigeria. And we also launched our campaign, Allow Us. I think it'll be in the 2016. Allow Us was largely informed by the research that we did to say as South Africans were seen as not welcoming, were seen as arrogant. So we saw our own brothers in the continent see us as arrogant. So we needed to find a way to actually turn that perception around by launching a campaign which will address some of the things which the research gave us. So in Africa, we look at how do we use events, as a catalyst to showcase our country. So we've done that together, a couple of events that we've listed there, which are provincial signature events. So as South African tourists, we don't own these platforms and we don't fund them. What we do is we use them as platforms to expose, people in the continent through media hosting, through tour operator hosting, and, just hosting trade and whatever. So attend these events so that they showcase what we have. In South Africa, and we also partner with trade for conversion. In the domestic space, honorable members, this domestic tourism has become high priority. I think it's important for me to keep on rehashing that. It's become a high priority because we're saying, in fact, it's an area which we need to win. We've done studies which show countries who are actually winning within the tourism space have grown their domestic tourism. So I want to follow through and say, how do we then grow our own domestic tourism to ensure that the sustainability of what we're trying to do, job creation, sustainable GDP contribution, and issues around transformation. We've enhanced our campaign of Short Left, which has gained traction, and we work very closely with trade to drive conversion. The other issue that I need to mention is that we consistently work with trade so that they get to understand that there is value in selling or in packaging domestic tourism, because most of our trade are focused in terms of how the package is more international. Some of the key initiatives on the Grading Council next night is around the bucket of benefits. We will do the impact assessment this year, like I mentioned, but what I can mention to you is that we've looked at what is the uptake of the basket of benefits, and we've seen an increase in terms of the uptake. And like I said, Power of One is one of our stakeholder engagement platforms, which we want to maximize to ensure that we sell the value proposition of trading. So those are some of the things that are coming up in 2016 to try and address the performance in that area. And with NCB, I think this is an area which I said that NCB was now established like 4 years ago. This is one area which I think is a tourism. We want to take a lead, want to be a thought leader, so to speak, in terms of how do we then put business events sector on the platform for people to understand that there lies enormous growth in terms of converting the business delegation to the leisure space as well. The market priorities we look at what are the key industries and sectors which have been identified by government. So we just don't follow other industries. We look at what is the government agenda, and we look at those industries, we focus on those industries, and have problems. We look at what are the key industries in Gauteng, for example, and in the Northwest. And then we work around the meetings and association meetings going into those provinces based on their niche as a province. Some of the key initiatives within SANCB is that the Meeting Africa, like I said, is our platform. It's one of our platforms. We own that platform. It is a very important platform to actually expose South Africa, as a business event destination. And also it's a good platform to actually try and convert the business delegates into the leisure space as well. How do we do it is people come in association meetings, but we try and conduct what we call pre-talks and post-talks. And in the pre-talks and post-talks, we expose the delegates to other parts of the country and leisure activities, even though they came to association. But what is important is that in most cases, the delegates who come, if it's an association meeting of 300, chances are out of the 300, 80% will bring a partner. So during the association meetings, their partners get to be taken all around, exposed to some of the experiences that we're trying to sell, hoping the next time when they return, they return as later tourists. In fact, research tells us that 47% of them return as later tourists. I'm not going to go into the details as to the impact of our initiatives. That was just to show the return on investment to members. I can take questions after that. On the governance side of things, this is a new bond. The 2014-15, or the bond that was in 2014-15, I think they signed off on the annual report, but all the meetings happened. The audit committees met. We had good interactions between ourselves as management and the audit committee to ensure that all the governance work is done in terms of King 3 and the Children Act. And in the period under review, all the directors that were serving in the board, I think it's important for us to mention that they were not remunerated, hence you would not see that in Tom's statement. The next, I talk to the effectiveness of internal control. That is evident by the clean audit that we've received, the unqualified audit that we've received, 14 years consecutively. So it shows the effectiveness of our internal control. And we have also a functioning internal audit which reports directly to the chairperson of the audit committee with a dotted line administratively to the organization. From a human resource point of view, during the year under review, the board approved structure has 202 positions versus the headcount of 121. That's the headcount of 171. And these are the positions of staff members sitting at home office in Johannesburg and in various markets where we service. We work towards maintaining a retention rate of 7%, and the unfortunate part of it is being a marketing agency, you are in direct competition with the private sector in terms of the resources that you need to drive marketing initiatives. But having said that, we still have to say that your 7% vacancy rate is something that is acceptable. If you look at the industry, it's 10%. So we try to be in the industry. Same as our employment, which is set in terms of the year under review, I think everything was still going okay in terms of achieving our employment equity targets. This is an area that we always track as executives, as management, and as the whole organization led by the board. It's an area which we always strive to be on point and on target. So that is part of the annual report that covers the performance environment, as well as the performance information. Now, another board member, I'm going to hand over to the CFO, who will take us through the audited financial performance for 2014-15 and some of the environmental issues that we faced with, or challenges that we faced with as an entity when it comes to our finances. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I can start with, I'd like to kind of break down the so-called balance sheet and income statement, just to give a kind of a reflection of what was in the 14-15 financial year. So you will then also see in the slides that we we have kind of three streams of income. The one is government grant, the other one is the FOMSA voluntary levies, and the third one is the normal salary revenue. So in terms of the normal revenue that we've received, we can break it up with 880 million rand we've received from government during the 14-15 financial year, and 111 million rand from the Tourism Business Council, the FOMSA levies. It was about 22 million rand more than budgeted at the moment because the budget was really conservative. So, and it also kind of depends on how many tourists are coming today. So if you look at the kind of the graph, the pie chart, you will see that 11% of our revenue is from the FOMSA and 89% is then from the government grant. If you want to turn over to the next slide, the other income is about 111 million rand, of which 56% of that is the Sunday revenue. That normally comes from the from Meetings Africa and also our exhibitions abroad and also the Indaba where we go by space and when we talk about our revenue there. So in terms of unrealized forex, it's 20% of that also. It's unrealized, it's really a accounting entry. There's no money that we make in terms of the currency loss. It's really accounting. How does it work? We've got a spot rate, an amount that we transfer, and then we have also a budget rate, and that difference between the spot and the budget rate. One of the reasons also we are a bit later, we get from the treasury, I must say the treasury is very lenient to us. They didn't make us more money in that year for currency losses, but what they did is that they gave us the money up front. So we just transferred the money to different country offices, so we didn't pay any exposure in the financial year. So all the money is in the foreign currency from April for the rest of the year in those different countries. So that's why, in terms of the accounting standards, we do have it in last year, it was the same, and we hope in the next year we will do it the same, because there are huge challenges in that. So I think if we can do the graph also, the pie chart, the breakdown, the grading, graying income, that's where they set us the money that the people, the establishments are paying for the graying establishment, is 2% of our total income. Fair value adjustment of investment property, IP investment property, and I will come to that a bit later also. The investment property we are building in the Netherlands, and in the past we've disclosed that as property and equipment, but the fact that we rent it out, the auditors have advised that we need to see this investment property, so that's why our income from that is very little. Sundry income is 36% and foreign gain is 25%. So please, as I've explained, the foreign gain is not cash, it's not hard cash, it's a big entry. That's the difference between your spot rate and your budget rate and how we account for that. I'll also come a bit later to that. So if we look at our operating expenses, our target is 50% for marketing, 20% for overhead. So we really try to stick to that with the facing the currency exposure. One will see that also, one will notice that 10% of our money for that financial year went for marketing expenditure. I think that was really good. I must say, Chair, in future, I don't want to talk about future because we're talking about efforts in financial management. That would definitely change because in terms of the current exposure, our overhead is just increasing quite a lot. So that formula will definitely change too, and we have no control over that at the current moment. So I think there's also a breakdown, the depreciation, as a non-cash item, is 1%, marketing is 77%, employee costs also with the 16%. I was also mentioned in terms of the 16% from, I think we've got about 46 people abroad, there's also a currency creep in that amount. Remember, we find that foreign currency, so and if we talk about African rand, it looks like 50%, but we kind of like the currency creep, it might be less than that. But the issue is that there's a current creep into that amount because we buy them in the foreign countries. And then operating expenses 6%. So we really try to have a tight budget so that we can spend our money on what our mandate requires from us. Highlights from a financial statement, I have to try if one has worked, the members have worked through the financial statement with the annual report, with some kind of movement, so I try to explain that also. The MLM residential property, we have converted to investment property, as I've explained. We had in London, we had a lease of 25 years in Wimbledon. That came to an end in this year, so our leases have kind of dropped tremendously, significantly. So that's also now, we have moved from Wimbledon to Mid-City London, and one would not believe that it's cheaper to have office in Mid-City London, having office in Wimbledon. And the reason was that everything had increased up to 25 years. So but now I think there was also kind of a saving that we have today. The lease assets, as you can see, it went down from 9.2 million to 741,000 rand. And the reason was that it was the London office, because that had a huge impact on that. bad debt also came down quite a lot, about 8.3 million rand. I don't know if you can remember when we just presented the membership of the great establishment. We had the 3-year membership. The 3-year membership, we've recognized the income. The moment they signed membership, it's for 3 years. We've recognized the membership for a 3 year, so that's when we kind of incur the income. But we're saying that because many people couldn't afford that, and then they would fall back. Jason and I had taken legal action against them. We just realized it was a bad season at the time, and we converted back to an annual membership. So if they don't pay, there's no legal action that we have to take. So it's really, I think it's also the benefit of those people, of the establishment. We don't do the cleanup membership anymore. Other highlights on the next slide. Provisions have declined due to labor when in 2013-14 was quite a lot of labor cases against us. Many of those have been resolved, many of those didn't proceed. So we've also adjusted provisions in terms of labor cases. Our adjustment at the moment for labor case provisions is very little. Also we've received the 20 million rand in advance in 2014-15 there was no advance, and I think that was for Indaba, so this is just, if you look at the financial sector, there was a huge movement in terms of upfront payments and being issued that we have done also for that. The surplus is also accumulated, and we'll see that later. I think, Chair, go to the next page, and that's what I try to explain. Every year, we try to explain to the Treasury that we don't make profit. Although it seems like it's a profit, there's no real cash profit where we are. There's unrealized gain, and unrealized gain is about a currency, that's what I explained. So, if you look at the Treasury, I'm not saying the Treasury don't understand it, because accountants in general understand it very well, but I think the economists from the budget side think every year that there's a profit. The profit is only an account entry. You can attach such that there's no tangible money, it's really how we account for that in terms of the guns that we, as I've explained now, on various questions. So what we have done is for them to understand better, and also when we reflect our financial statement to them and they will discuss budget, in terms of the graph standard, we have a kind of been separated that to show that we had in fact a loss, that was due to the currency loss, and the gain we had in the next line was the currency gain, and then also the fair value adjustment for the investment property. So now we can really see that what were the real cash, loss or cash, if we made profit, or there was no profit, that is, I see. I think that is, I have explained. If we come to the next slide, Chair, I think that is really an explanation just of the budget, the revenue versus expenditure, that was audited. And I don't think there's anything I have to explain. I just said adjustment. We received 52 million rand during the financial year, 2014-15. The reason for that was we received 22 million rand more from the Thomson Levies, as I've explained, from the CBCSA. In terms of the budget, they gave us 84 million, we received much more. And then another 22 million rand was 20 million rand, 30 million and 20 million rand was for currency losses, which is really like good for us. We put 46 million and they gave us 20 million rand, and then 10 million rand they gave us for the Indaba because it was a new fight for Indaba and also new systems that we've appointed a procurement for Indaba. So I think that we are in terms of the revenue expenditure. Anything short of financial statements, I think the CEO will go through the rest of my title first. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. In conclusion, honorable chair members, that the issue around the sluggish South African economic growth is still impacting South Africa, obviously thereby increasing the job losses in various industries, including our industry, you know, it's tourism, because we've seen a lot of tourism products actually closing down because of that. And as a sector, the sector itself is still recovering from the effects of the immigration regulation. In certain parts of our market segments as an entity. And the issue around the global security and health concerns remains obviously topical and influences decision-making. You see, the disadvantage of, you know, in the tourism industry, because decisions are actually very fluid. So someone books, but if something happens tomorrow, they can wake up and cancel. So those kind of things actually impact largely on decision-making. And the other thing is that the organization is embarking on strategies to improve areas which we didn't meet the target. I think certainly we need to understand that a responsibility such as growing from the arrivals to South Africa, it cannot be a sole responsibility. We need our partners to actually deliver this. And so we're looking at what are the strategies that we can, you know, to improve the area where we didn't achieve our target. and we're going to intensify the whole issue around domestic tourism, like I said. But also we have developed now a comprehensive stakeholder engagement plan, which will improve collaboration and strengthen relationship with stakeholder, trade, media, as well as government. So that all of us understand that decisions that we make, legislation, rules, and other things that we make have a direct impact, and we've got an opportunity to resolve issues at an earlier stage rather than late. And South African Tourism and Board is already hard at work implementing the ministerial review. We all know that the minister has commissioned a review on state tourism. So the board is leading the implementation of recommendations coming out of that review. And all of these things, the clean audit, the unqualified audit would not have been possible if it was not the commitment from the staff, the NDC, that is the supported work from the NDC ministry, the portfolio committee, as well as the select committee. So we'd like to thank you, Honorable Chair and members, for your positive support. And the debates that we get and the recommendations that we get are very invaluable. And I'm going to hand over back to my chair, acting chair, to wrap up.
Thank you very much to the members of the board for your leadership. I was impressed. I can't find the correct English word. When I learned that you are serving without remuneration, I don't know whether it's fair, but to also say thank you to Mr. Mini for the presentation that you have made this morning. Allow me, before we just throw it open for questions and comments, to say the following. Firstly, that we appreciate the fact that you are prioritizing domestic tourism. Because when the National Department of Tourism presented its report to us last year, as a committee, we were encouraging them that they should do more on domestic tourism. I notice also that when you talk about the percentages there, that it portrays a very interesting figure, depending upon how one wants to look at it. You're talking about the 7% and the 3-point-something%. And one would therefore say that there might be different reasons why you have these discrepancies in the percentages. And the reason why I'm saying that is because of the next comment that I want to make. That you make reference to your trade partners, you also make reference to the cooperation with the all your 46 works working abroad. Now, this select committee is also responsible for oversight over the Department of International Relations. So, through your engagement with us, and at any time that you pick up any of the hurdles with DIRCO, you are welcome to also raise that with us, this select committee, so that we could see how we could do advocacy work for you and unlock some of the challenges that you're having there. The second one is the Department of Trade and Industry, which is a very important player in the economics of our country. And we have fairly good cooperation while we are responsible for oversight to that committee. They have a lot of entities reporting to them, so we are not only working with one entity as it is in the case of the Department of Tourism, but with at least 6 up to 9 entities I think the last time I come, we were 13 entities the last time I come in the Department of Trade and Industry. So we are looking at a cohesive approach. And therefore, we want to say to you that our oversight responsibility is not only in terms of how well you function, but also to see how we can improve in the areas that you are not doing too well, and also better in the areas that we are doing good in. I want to say that we want to commend you on the, you used the word clean audit, so let me use that term, on your unqualified audit report. We are normally very concerned when we do get qualifications on your audits, and we would want to urge you as a select committee not to relax in that sphere, but to keep on bringing to us a clean audit. That said, honourable members, I will now throw it open to the floor for comments and for questions. We would follow the normal procedure that what we do is we allow you 3 questions. If we have more time, then we can give you more time later. I notice Honorable Father. Honorable Father is from the Northern Cape. What you find very often in our comments and questions, we our roots come through. He's from the Northern Cape. Is there any other questions from Honorable Mr. Mulia?
Oh, you have the names, they come from there.
Yeah.
You come from there. Let's have Honorable Ikade. Let's take the 3. I noticed that the 2 of you are doing good things. So after that, you will then say,
I almost said Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Chair. This is making me think of illegal immigrants. I'm sorry. This is really bad. Okay, Chair, listen, thanks. I almost want to start by saying if we had a big basket of what we call cross AS here and he had Mr. Igaba standing there, I wonder how many people would, if he was blinded, told it, take up eggs here and throw in with it, because I know this department or tourism are working under the Department of Tourism as well, and I think they've been hard hit by our visa regulations. And what is concerning to me was that this pre-Christmas or pre-holidays, between 10 and 20 families were denied boarding in the UK at Heathrow. And it amounts that there's almost 500 families that have been, they could not get on the aeroplane. They were denied getting onto the aeroplane. This is obviously according to Mr. David Frost, the CEO of, you know, Mr. David Frost. Now, if you look at the rand pound, which is between 23 and 24 rand per pound, and you look at the amount of money that the country and tourism has lost just in this festive season, because of this relaxing of visa regulations that did not pass yet, it's been passed, but somehow it's not been implemented. This is why I say, put us in McGee-Gala. I don't want to see if people could get brought AS here. But, you know, tourism's got 9% of our, makes up 9% of our GDP, and it employs 1.5 million South Africans. And it says that it's one job for every 12 arrivals. Now, I need to know from you, what is the way forward? I see you are talking about growth here of, on the stage, it's estimated international tourist arrivals to reach 1.6 billion by 2020 and a growth of between 4 and 4.5%. I need to understand, and I know you can't give us figures now because it's the financial year end that's not there anymore, but what is your estimated target? Because there must be a huge loss on overseas tourists to South Africa. And I heard what you said about Ebola, but I just don't buy it, to be quite honest. I've spoken also to a lot of people from tourism. Ebola might have effect on some of the countries, but really not South Africa that much. I do know that the visa regulation was the main reason for this. And maybe it is time, Chairperson, that we get the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister of Tourism together, because I know the Minister Hanekom was really fighting for this, and I know that specific group was there to get this going under Deputy President Ramaphosa. So I want to know what do you think is what is your projection of the next financial year? What do you think is really going to happen? Because we're talking to between 4.5%. With the rand that's been declining the way it is at the moment, most probably people will come here because they can come here for free. Maybe that is the solution. Then different tariffs for South African tourists. We've asked, and I'm saying as a party, and I'm talking to you as my province as well, but you know, South African tourists cannot even afford to go to Robben Island. It is a fact. It is too expensive. We believe that foreign tourists should pay a different price than tourists in South Africa. We can't let South African tourists, they can't pay that money to go and see our own history and our own things like the mountains and all these tourism attractions that we have. We just don't have it. If you go to other countries, funny, and my wife, I don't want to say it, but she's Polish, and if you look in Poland, for instance, as well, they've got different tariffs, because the Polish people can actually go and look at certain things, and it will cost them cheaper. So these are things that they have to look at. And then, Chairperson, third thing, my province, the Northern Cape province. You all know the bloodhound is the big thing for us this year, so we want to make money in the Northern Cape. We need to be the money generator for the country, as it seems no one else can do it. Now, I want to know, do you have a partnership to help us hype this whole bloodhound thing? Do you have advertisement in other countries to actually try and help us in the Northern Cape to make this a big thing? I know we've got the fastest internet connection now in that area in the whole country, as you all know. Kivod. Northern Cape. So I would like to know what is your contribution? Will you help us? How far are you on that? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I allowed you to continue about the Honorable Gigaba in his absence, which is not fair. Therefore, as chairperson, I have the responsibility to say that A, we are dealing here with the Department of Tourism. And we are particularly dealing not only with the department, with the South African tourism, which is an entity within a department. The minister, I'll respond to you on a lighter note as well, and say that if Minister Gigaba was here, many of us who have seen children being abducted and abused and sold into slavery, and I've made that remark in the NGOP, that also we are concerned about the safety of people in this country. It's more valuable to us than money. And you in the South African tourism need to know that. If we find that there is trading in tourism with our children, we will not allow that to happen. As members of Parliament.
Wrong that the Mr. Gates on
children
and so let's not go into that.
Okay. What is also wrong is when people come to the house and they give us tips selective. What we need to do, and we have said this in the house to members of the DA, that it is important that you quote the sources of the figures that you are giving to us. We will not allow figures to just be manipulated in order to serve a political agenda, particularly not when it affects our children. we are steadfast on this position that what is happening with regard to the movement of people around the world, that our children should not in the process of such movement be victims. We must find ways in which we can protect our children. The second thing that I want to say is that the members of South African tourism who are here can ignore that part of the question as it relates to the Department of Home Affairs, and it's unfair to expect you to respond to questions that should in fact go to Home Affairs. We appreciate the comment that the Minister must work with Minister Gigaba. There is a ministerial committee and they are already showing progress in terms of the negotiations and the discussions that are happening in ministerial committee. When Minister Hanekom reported to us in October last year, as the minister responsible for tourism development in this country, he also spoke to us in the NCOP on the progress that emanates from the ministerial committee that is looking at those matters. And we are not pushing this matter under the mat, but we are saying that it's unfair to expect South African tourism to be responding to that. We are at liberty, Honourable Father, to raise these things in the House, and we will deal with it there. I'm not going to allow a discourse to you.
I would just like to know the part of the question that I would ask you. Do tourism have an idea of what the figures would look like if they can have maybe a
problem? Okay, that's a fair part of the question. Let's have Honourable Junior, please proceed with your questions.
Thank you, sir. I fought against the homeless system of government until it fell at some point in my life. But the Rwandan government has invested in some assets. I want to make specific reference to the former Wandebele area in Mpumalanga. There are investments that were made in tourism destinations that are now completely white elephants. And from where I'm sitting, those assets can be used to boost economic growth.
Sorry, Chief, just object. White elephant is racist.
What about the white rhino? No, no.
Your comment on the white rhino. I think if something could be done, I know these assets are sitting in the hands of perhaps provincial tourism authorities, and in fact, most of the rural municipalities' tourism is really a secondary issue to them. They are preoccupied with the basic services delivered. What is your take on that as tourism South Africa? And I make specific reference to this area because most people there are commuting between Gauteng and between Pretoria and that area for work. Should this not help us? Could this not have helped us to create some jobs and also assist your emerging black tourist operators in that area to come into space and also benefit into this particular sector? My second issue is around the your work around issues of transformation. I really don't find you really radical on the issue of transformation, and this is one sector that is really not transformed. I don't know what your views are, but I will need to get a reflection from your side. What is your take? How do you contribute towards transforming this industry as an entity? Amsterdam converted into investment property. I need to be educated here. What does that mean? Thank you,
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. Thanks for the presentation. My question is on the late arrival of statistics. I've heard that now you have a good relationship with the Central Africa and the former side, but I just want to check if ever you did give them a time frame as to when you really want to revisit this threat. The other one is on the issue of tourism board, whereby the board members worked and did not receive their remuneration. I just want to check if it has gone voluntary or are they still going to get the remuneration? If ever they're still going to get it, when are they going to get it? And if ever it has gone voluntary, I think it needs to be clear here. But the other thing, the question, last thing, I really want to say to the department, they will keep on getting it, you know, because they're taking care of the poor. There is Mawa Lodge in Polwedi, next to my area. Hey, people are waiting for that. Thank you very much. I really want to congratulate the department and also to say keep up the good work, and please, as you move to Limpopo, I mean to Polokwane, there is the Hali area there. Also need this in the Mawa Lodge. Thank you.
Can we give over to you acting CEO? You will decide who, or do we give it to acting chair? Okay, okay.
Thank you, honorable members, for the question. The question from honorable Papa is around what is our estimated, you know, projection for 2015, given the environmental or the situational analysis that was given. We'll stick to the chicken tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Currently, we have done an analysis of our, you know, year-to-date performance. In terms of the target that we've put for 15-16, or the estimated target, because we've got methodology to use the target, we're sitting at about 10.9 million projected tourist arrivals. And remember, previously we spoke about the foreign arrivals rather than tourists. So it's excluding, you know, the total population of arrivals, but those who are coming here specifically as tourists. As tourists in our country. So our target, therefore, was sitting at 10 million, but now the only result that I'm comfortable, the Honorable Chair, to talk about is the results have been released by CFA, which covers up until the September period. We are sitting at minus 2.9% growth year on year if you compare tourist arrivals in the previous financial year, in fact, in the year under review now. So meaning we yesterday's performance was looking at 7 million arrivals against the target of 10. Now we have not received second October to December, so we don't know what the trend will be looking like. But in terms of the industry, you know that from an international point of view, arrival point of view, December is sort of a dead period. It's more on domestic, and you know, people just do not like generally traveling around that period. So right now, in terms of estimation, projected estimation, I'm comfortable talking about what we've actually said in the starting plan, because it was it followed a robust methodology which was agreed upon in various stakeholders, with various stakeholders, and I'm comfortable talking about our yesterday performance, which is set that has been released by yesterday. On the issue of affordability, which was raised around, you know, giving an example about the Table Mountain. It's an issue which South African tourism was taken into account. But we realize that if you look at our mandate as South African tourism, it's part of that value chain around creating demand. So the issue of affordability is not something that South African tourism can answer in also. But I know, Honorable Chair, that the Minister of Tourism and the Department were working very closely with the trade, which is the private sector. So remember, this is the entire value, the private sector involved in the taxing issue. So we are, I think they've set aside stakeholder engagement sessions to deal with issues of affordability. In 2016, one of the things that we've done, part of the domestic tourism, is we had what we call a domestic tourism think tank. And in this thing, like, you have trade, which is now the industry, the private sector. You have provincial government, local government, which sort of touches on what you were saying, Honorable Timmy, around infrastructure in local government. So that kind of discussion is there to say, how do we expand domestic tourism, taking into account issues of affordability? Because what happens is our role as South African tourism, we come into when we do the marketing aspect. So when the affordability issue has been stretched out among the stakeholders, it's easy now to get into the market. How do we market those places? How do we ensure that our people actually go there? How do we, you know, partner with them to ensure that we actually facilitate the movement? So I'm going to leave the issue of affordability there, unless if my board members would like to, you know, add other things around tourism affordability in the country. The Bloodhound. Northern Cape Tourism Agency works very closely with our UK office, so our country manager is on top of this project. We realize that one of our markets that is interested in this thing is our UK market, but we're not leaving it there only. Where other country managers are taking on board, where we're going to use our social media platform to talk to this project. In fact, to expand that, there is a meeting which has been scheduled for February to look at how do we assist this community around there, around quality. Remember, if people come to Northern Cape, want to understand whether do we have the quality accommodation for the people. So our Chief Quality Assurance Officer is meeting with Amiting and I think it's 10th February to discuss how we help the community there to, you know, issues around quality, issues around grading, to ensure that by the time people come for this project, we've got affordable and quality accommodation around that area. So we are in constant communication with the with the tourism authority there. The next question was around that of infrastructure in local government. The department has a unit called which deals with, I think it's domestic tourism, and it deals with destination development. Part of the project that they're working on is how do they work with local government, provincial government, in terms of improving infrastructure, existing infrastructure. And part of the agenda on the think tank is how do we assist in that area. As South African tourism, as soon as this infrastructure is ready, we now put them as part of our marketing plan. We now put them as part of the products that we will partner with trade to package. But the department is leading this this initiative through the domestic think tank. Chef, I'd want to talk to the Amsterdam property,
yes,
and the board's remuneration.
Yes, I can do that. Thank you, Chair, for you. Honourable member, in terms of the Amsterdam property, in the past we have just recognised that as some property and equipment. So what we have not recognised is the benefit we get from renting that. And in terms of the requirements, we need to classify that as investment property, because we're renting that to a private a person who is occupying that for 1,800 euros a month, and we must recognise that. The property is not used for office space. We are renting office space closer to the mid-city. And this property will also now, in the next board meeting, we will approach the board for the together of the property as part of our savings. So I hope that explains it. But it's really accounting. But there's a long also explanation in terms of the accounting policy, which we have put in the accounting policy, in terms of how do we recognize the revenue and the benefit that is coming through to the past. We have not recognized the benefit in the past. In terms of accounting, we will have to do that. In terms of the board remuneration, the previous board has done it on a voluntary basis. There was not remuneration except for the normal disbursement. The current board, the minister has, the minister has, except for a key person, which is a government official of the Tanya Aramsa, who is entitled to the regulations for the remuneration of board remuneration. She can only get a normal disbursement when she represents the tourism. The rest of the board members are remunerated. Likely. So yes, you will see in the new financial statements, they will be remunerated for the new board members. That's also, I must say, a peppercorn for what work they're doing for us, but that's in terms of the regulations of the treasury. I hope I've responded to that.
Chair, there's a question around confirmation. South African tourism, looking at the marketing mandate that we have, we've got to work with partners to ensure that we drive the transformation agenda as a sector. One of the things that we have placed on the agenda is our interaction with the tourism business council, where they have members of the association which are the report. In fact, Honorable Saba mentioned the CEO of SASA, who is part of this. So whatever we can take the responsibility to transform into the industry itself. Okay, we're faced with a challenge. So we want to transform the industry, we want to contribute to the transformation. But I think it's a partnership between government and the private sector to be there. So what we've done from our side, what we can say is when we look at the Joint Marketing Agreement, part of the things that we look at is issue of transformation. Which cooperators we partner with. So the issue of transformation comes at play. And we make sure that we sensitize our country managers, public teams, people are dealing with marketing work within the organization to understand this. Because it's part of the requirements of the service sector strategy. But we actually show this in the way that we do business. In the supply chain management as well. So these are little contributions that we can make as an agency. How we procure services, just like our service. The service that we procure must have a transformational element to it. So you know that there are certain things that the CFO cannot be like in the supply chain, the BE ratings and all that of the service providers that we use. So we take transformation importance in the agency. And where we can actually contribute in our operational, how we operationalize our work or how we operationalize our mandate, we do that. And as executives, with the guidance from the board, it's one element that we always actually focus on every time we visit them on a quarterly basis. The other issue was around SAP. With SAP, they realized that the problem is a bit complex. The challenge is quite complex. In a sense that previously, we had CISA, the State Information Technology as part of the value chain of the green information. But we had a challenge where, some of the codes got lost, or whoever wrote the code at CISA resigned, and we can't change that. And the arrangement was that now ZSA will receive the data direct from Home Affairs, so there's no filtering that needs to happen. So now the technical committee that we've put together as the stakeholders involved is that we need to now start mapping the process from scratch, and we will go back to the basics. What are the basics? The basics are that on every 2 months they release steps, so meaning we would get steps following 2 months of full of a quarter or a month. So we have an MOU which guides that relationship, but moving forward, we would have to find a way to map a new process of gathering data from home assets, how we filter that, who does what, from us between ourselves and Cesare and home assets. The project team is, from our side, is led by the MVP, but we have a technical person who is there, who understands, the modeling, who understands the, test methodologies. And the timeline for this project is that at least by the 31st of March 2020, the next financial year, end of the next financial year, we should have now a new process that has been approved by everyone on how to collect tourism tax data. And Honorable Member from Limpopo, so I pass to Kale.
I think it's probably incumbent on the board, as the representation of the board, to deal with two issues that were raised, and that was the remuneration of the board and the issue of transformation. I come from CraftNet, so let me all put that on the table as a disclaimer. So I have a vested interest in the duel of the Karoo, but that's off the record. The issue of board and board remuneration, Abba and I are part of the new board, and in no way is the current board remuneration market-based and market-driven. So when you look at board fees, it really is a commitment, and yeah, I can categorically speak for members for the board. It is around our commitment to market SA Inc. Because if you look at the volume of the work, we all have full-time, very active day jobs, and so we're really doing it in terms of our love of South Africa, the desire to promote SA Inc. and to sell SA Inc. Also, the current Minister of Tourism, his commitment to the board was he's changed the board rather dramatically, and I share this with you mainly as information, where he wanted the board to represent and draw on sector experience and expertise. So new areas of, so we've got representation from South African rugby. Unfortunately, we couldn't win the rugby, despite the fact that we had him on the board, was to look at sports. A major product that you can sell. So through rugby, he brought in that expertise.
Who other he's brought in the communications and the marketing expertise. We have other board members who are looking very critically and carefully at the product of art, architect and culture as a major tourist destination, because our acting COO spoke about the issue of seasonality, and even though the sun is only meant to shine in the Northern Cape at certain parts of the year, the El Nino effect is demonstrating that you can't even rely on seasonality because of climate change if you buy into that and the differences. So really the thrust behind the expertise on the board is to provide hundreds of years of expertise and guidance to the team to develop and to benchmark and to be ahead of trends of what's going on in tourism. So that's just on the issue board, the board. Both Adam and I are newest recruits onto the board, and you'll be available for engagement later on with members if you, oh, but you've got another meeting. And then on the issue of transformation, I think, again, it's important that we as the board talk to the matter. We take it very seriously, and I think the team has realized that this board, in terms of meeting targets, not only around employment equity, but in terms of the new codes, and as you're aware, the department, the tourism sector codes have been gazetted. We are now bound by those codes, and then the acting CEO has very eloquently put it that the issue of transformation cannot only rest with SAT. This is a South Africa Inc. priority, and the board is fully behind it. We as South Africa have to ensure that our transformation targets are met as a country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just about time, Honorable Dihale is to leave us for a meeting that she must attend. She's also serving on our international relations. What do you call that group? DGIR. On DGIR. And she has to rush because so she has to be in Pretoria for a meeting then. So we'll excuse her as she runs for that. Let's have the two. Honorable Nita, I notice you're Honorable Pavel. Let's have Honorable Nita, and let's have Honorable Nkebe. Honorable Nita, as I said before, she's from the colony where the sun rises, which is Matampumalanga, Eastern Cape. And then Honorable Nkebe is from the Platina province. Then we'll have Honorable Pavel. You have more than one that you want to? Just one. Okay, then we'll have Honorable Father's race the last. He'll just raise one. But we give you the opportunity for 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. First, let me appreciate the presentation by the South African Tourism. One, I wanted to check on the issue of XLXLXL. That is a time frame where that could stop. Listening to the report that you have given us, it makes us very jealous that you'd like to see the sustainability of such reports that are coming to the committee. But it will be people that are acting worried that may look the good trend that you have set for the development. So I'd like to know that first. And the second point is on the issue of geographic spread, which I think I much appreciate that you saw a need to make sure that is geographic spread. But I would like to know, are you willing, in terms of a test that you have that shows you that you are on the right track in terms of your target on this one, because it's quite critical for the whole country. And the last one will be on the point of you working very well with local government as well as province. So that one, I'm not asking your question, but I'm appreciating that, because if you sustain that, I am sure that you will deliver a good tourism force. Because you working together, especially at the local government level, where there's a lack of understanding on the issue of tourism. So I'm appreciating that, and I would like you to continue doing that. Thing.
Now, let me just make two comments on what Honorable Lisa has raised. The first is to say that she was a mayor in the Eastern Cape. So when she talks about local government, she has experience. She knows exactly what it is that she's talking about. The second one is on the acting. To just say, Honorable Lisa, that I have been informed about the resignation of the CEO. And I thought that if it's not raised in the question, I will respond to it later when we meet privately. But just to say that the board is on top of the matter, and they are dealing with it, and they have given me their certainty and also explained some of the strategies that they are pursuing. But we have ourselves witnessed the capacity of the staff and the acting COO in terms of the presentation that they have made. It does not take away from the point that Honorable Leader is making that we make in all the meetings. We don't want to have people act indefinitely. We raise it with all government departments that are reporting to us, that we want to see stability within the department, and that is enhanced when we have people employed on a contractual basis, or what we call a permanent basis. This contractual permanent thing confuses some of us. Honorable Tebe, can we allow you, please?
Now, earlier I was tempted to also venture into the immigration issue, but I take your advice. Probably this goes, Mama Judy, to the board, that part of transformation on my part includes, and I agree for the first time with the Honorable Father, that part of us packaging the tourism product includes also how we want to see the issues of affordability and access being addressed. And you can't address affordability and access holistically as if you're addressing the global aspects to the domestic ones. We have said this before. There's a person who's my age, residing just on the outskirts of Kruger National Park, who has never been to Kruger National Park. There's a person who stays 1 kilometer away from Farm City, who has not been to Farm City. And when we talk about domestic penetration, we talk about how we address access and affordability for such a person. Now, these are the people, some of them, if you want to relate to the situation in Northwest, we are still dealing with the possibility of how do we integrate them. Some of them were removed for such establishment to be there. But they can't even access such establishment. And it is the role of the board in your transformational agenda to clearly define what we want to do, so that this capable management can be able to practically implement such decisions that will move forward. So those are the things that I think we should be able to address. And when, more often than not, there seems to be an emphasis on the global, on global tourism, as opposed to domestic tourism. And I think we are missing the point. Yes, global tourists are important, but it is equally important so that we stimulate our own people to be able to be drivers of their own change, but also participate in the economy. Now, we identify tourism as one of the key pillars, but how many of our own people do that? Because of the penetration that you created, I visited Mozambique, and I went back to Mozambique again, because one of the things that I saw through your products was that it is exemplary for me to be able to do such, because it is something that was packaged in a manner that it was giving me chance that I could be able to see that happening in our own country, and we can be able to tap into that possibility. So it's not a keynote address, but I think we are missing it at some point. There are people who travel. I mean, I'm from Rustenburg. mining industry was built on the back of migrant labor. People are traveling all over Sunday to come your Easter break, your December break. Where do they spend when as they drive all the way to Malawi, to Mozambique, to Zambia, to Lesotho? We don't have anything provided for them. People travel as much as far as Rustenburg to Kimberley. They don't even know there is a big hole in Kimberley. So those are the things that I think we should be able to take into attention.
You only have the one.
Yeah.
Okay, Honorable Baba.
No, you must be careful about Honorable Baba.
Chairperson, unfortunately, I just want to say I disagree with you. People know about the beagle, but there's so many beagles on the way to Kimberley that they can't get to Kimberley. Perhaps the potholes get sorted out, that can help. So, just on that, and then on Honorable Sene, you know, we know about his luxury lodge and stuff that he's owning that he's got in Mozambique, but he's not allowed to come and advertise it here. I'd just like to say about, you know, I've just seen that, and I did not even know about this, and Richard Branson are having a Guinness World Record kite surfing competition in Cape Town this weekend, where they want to have more than 352 kite surfers to break the Guinness World Record. Now, I mean, this is quite a big thing at Lobat Strand here. And, I mean, I've just picked up. So these are things that I believe should actually promote tourism. And I mean, this weekend, I am staying here most of the time, almost, and I mean, I didn't even know about this. So I still believe these types of events, which are Guinness World Records and that can create so much more tourism, should be advertised more. Thank you, Chief.
The Guardian Road has won another award during last week's day, so we must comfort all of
us. Can I pose a last question? I was hoping that one of the other members would pose it. When the Department of Tourism presented their staff profiles to us, they indicated a small number of disabled people within their staff. Now, disabled people need different facilities, and they also have the right to travel and are experiencing hassles in travel. My question then to you would be, just within South African tourism, can you give us an indication what's your percentage and what's your plans in terms of affirming the rights of these disabled people within the department? We don't need to look at the industries because you don't have control over that. But that said, there was a young man this morning on television, just before 6 o'clock, David McCorrell. David has no arms and no legs. He says that when he reads the Bible, people talk about you are conquerors. And he said that no, they're reading it wrong. This young man is about 12, 13 years old. He said the reading is wrong. We are more than conquerors. And when he says it to people, they become emotional. 12-year-old youngster talking about adults becoming emotional when he shares this with them. But I became emotional when I saw David and his lust for life. That I was telling Honorable Timunia earlier on that he then plays with a soccer ball outside. His limbs end and here, and his legs end at the knees, but he has the. And this youngster rolls on the floor and he kicks a soccer ball. And he's not in a gymnasium with tiles or marble on it. It's on sand that he's doing this. And I therefore think that when we talk of disabled people, the only reason why I give the example, when we talk of disabled people, we shouldn't think that we're doing them a favor. We are affirming the great potential and abilities that these people have. So if I can just leave that as a final question to you. It's over to you, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. The issue of editing and sustainability are littered to the board. And I'll ask the GM operations to talk through the issue of geographic split. General Manager Operations. She's responsible for the coordination of the development of the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, as well as reporting in general.
Thank you very much, Madam CEO. Honourable members, Chairperson, thank you for the question. One of the things that I want to mention before I give you a direct answer is that we appreciate the fact that the domestic competitive landscape of the various provinces is not the same. So everybody promotes tourism, everybody hopes to have a surpass tourist, but the landscape is not the same. So we'll not be able to attract exactly the same number of tourists in different provinces. I think that's a one point that we appreciate. The second point is that we understanding that, we also make efforts and strategies and tests that we have in place to make sure that whatever number of tourists that we get in the country, I get ready in one way or the other. Let me give you an example. We do what we call pre and post tours, meaning that when we have, for instance, our key events like Lava and Meetings Africa, we host buyers, we host trade, we host media, we host bloggers. As part of our deliverables is to make sure that we these various people visit various provinces and get exposed to different products that are offered by different parts of the world of South Africa. So in that way, there's an achievement of geographic spread. Everybody gets to benefit in one way or the other. The second way we do it is, as part of our job generally, we expose trade, we expose media, we expose our partners to the various parts of our products, our province, the various parts of our country in terms of our products. And we would, for instance, have your stem trip, we would have your hosting of trade, media, etc., etc. We make sure that we cover almost all the different provinces as well. The third element is that each of the provinces, they have what we call signature events. So we partner with them, we leverage off those events by making sure that we invite media there, we invite our trade partners, there are a lot of activations that we handle there. And by doing so, make sure that there's geographic spread in one way or the other. So there are those ad hoc, but well-organized and structured ways and strategies and tactics that we use to make sure that geographic spread is achieved. And starting to also measure those in one way or the other.
On the issue, the comments from Honourable Papa around the stepping competition. In fact, one of the mandates that the board has given management is around strengthening partners with, you know, partnerships with, like for instance, the Department of Arts and Culture and Sports and Recreation. In fact, even the board has allocated one of the board members to drive, you know, the initiative. In fact, today there is the first meeting with the Department of Arts and Culture to see what sort of, you know, cultural activities and arts, you know, activities can promote as tourism, you know, as levers of tourism. As well as the meeting with the sports association would happen as well. So one to try and look at those very signature events. So signature events, we're not going to limit it to jazz festivals and the grand sound festival, so to speak. One to actually extend those signature events to coaching, you know, signature events as well. So it's one of the things that the board has actually task management to look into, and it's something that would be consistently in the board of the agenda, in the board agenda, to try and check a problem. And a key is that the department is on board on this matter. So every time it comes to select conclusions, we keep focused on the matter, we know that. On the issue of universal accessibility, Chair, you've raised a matter. TGCSA, if you look at the fact, TGCSA has revised their criteria. So we have a revised criteria, you know, the grade criteria to include universal accessibility. So what are some of the issues that we look at, the criteria or the points that we address? The issue of mobility, communication, and visual impairment. So, in fact, part of the grading criteria for other African products includes universal accessibility to ensure that people with disabilities access our products. And it is a criteria which the department is funding through the Tourism Incentive Program to ensure that products, we can't deny the fact that it's expensive to actually now remodel, because most of these products have not been built for universal accessibility. Hence, the department now, through the incentive program, can now incentivize products to ensure that that happens. Within that, sub-complaining, we are now in the process of developing our employment equity plan. That's one of the things that the board had asked us, that the board members will say. Employment equity plan will take into account the issue of how do we get representation or some sort of representation around people with disability. And in the next election, I'm sure we'll be able to actually report how far we've gone with that. So I'll hand over to the board to address the issue of leadership sustainability and so forth.
Certainly, and I don't think there's anything more disconcerting when new board is appointed and you have changes. So what I'd like to emphasize is that the appointment of the CEO is the priority, the top priority, the most important priority for the new group, for us as the board. The appointment then on a board level, that is in the ambit of the minister. But I can also quite categorically say that it is a priority for the minister. And what is important, I also think, around children's sustainability is the development of institutional memory and capacity. I'm reminded of many years ago when I was young, when leaders were in prison, we also always had the next tier of leadership being able to step in as efficiently and as proficiently. But that not to minimize and undermine the fact that we need, from a leadership point of view, we have to have the leader who is able to set the tone, manage the process, and deliver against targets. So it is very important for us, we want to wrap it in Q1 of this year so that we can get on with the business of selling South Africa. Both and also, it's very important that we develop product and roots. So heritage, history, and democracy, over and above sport and tourism, sport and culture and art. I'd like to conclude by talking to the issue of domestic tourism. Globally, honourable member. I will almost reveal where I spent my weekend with that kind of speech. But to say that globally, the sustainability of the market, the countries that do well have vibrant, viable domestic tourism in their country, and we are building on that. And I think maybe to you, we've been given, the department has been given a special allocation to promote domestic tourism, because again, the issue of affordability and access in many countries is a product of subsidization. And so we have, and that will be made public soon, I think, the kind of initiatives driving around domestic tourism. And finally, I will conclude this to say that the power of domestic tourism is beyond the travel, it's what it does to the mind, to embrace diversity and to promote oneness. Thank you.
The second thing is that this is that the two pieces that the one was obviously something that when you're not able to do anything for our meeting. So I'm not very happy. I've raised it kind of in part of the information the second one that we were teaching on the leader was in Washington.
for the end of the school. Do you agree?
Also, how they are dealing with the book. The treatment is clearly frequent. They are two of the young men driving the bus, approaching us, and saying that we appreciate what they do. But what they do is they tell us the price, and they buy us money. Each one to have a own. But the fact that you are not, that you're not just training, but also so they put that. The last one that I was in a conversation with she said for us, because in the last thing we have to do is that no, we're not interested in that. No, but I'm in other people. And so, next to Southwest, not on the appetite, they have not there. Southwest. So there's a lot of work that we need to do in the understanding, but if you did not know, I'm sure you do, then we are also encouraged to be part of the international tradition. We have all the support. Tourism growth in the same way that we have to also dealing with the economic aspects of the small business development, transport, public labor, economic development, trade and labor, all that, and then there are also areas of our business. So we can go for example, we were interested in Durban for to know how many visitors did you have, how many Russian cultural networks that you have, how many cruise lines do you have for your customers, how do you receive them, are you having problems with documentation? So we do all this. I did want this to be at the beginning of the year, so that said that we would find new ways to which we need the expectation of the people who we tell when we want to write the people who we tell. And of course, it's critical to why do you feel that it's really important to work with? You can, as because of what you said earlier, we're going to finish in three. Honorable members, there is just an issue of the program that we have for this. The program for this part of all for the next year. Very much. Any comments on that? Can we adopt that every day? The quarterly program. Is there a proposal that we adopt the quarterly program? And it has been distributed from the Bolsara, from the Nina, the Venice program.
They have